This is Marketplace from APM. I'm David Gura.
All right, all those questions about pay, how many people are employed right now, we're going to talk about them and a bunch of other stuff on 4 minutes of live radio we call the Weekly Wrap. Joining me today are Felix Salmon from Reuters. Hey, Felix.
Good afternoon.
And Catherine Rampell, columnist at the Washington Post. Hi, Catherine.
Hey.
So, Felix, let me start with you. I want to ask about those jobs numbers, 192,000 of them. And what do you make, a good unemployment report or not?
It's basically the same as we've been seeing for the past few months. We haven't had a really good employment report since I can remember. We've just had a steady, grinding, slow recovery in employment. And that's about, I think we've resigned ourselves to that. That's what we're going to have to make do with for the foreseeable future.
Catherine, you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say that's basically true. There were a couple of bright spots in the report. You did see the labor force participation rate tick up a little bit. That's the share of people who are of working age who are actually either working or looking for work. So that was a little bit encouraging. You saw the work week get a little longer, implying that maybe employers might be working their existing workers harder and might be willing to hire some more workers. But generally, you know, it's sort of more of the same.
I wanted to get your take on a book that came out earlier this week. Michael Lewis came out with his book on high-frequency trading, and it's caused something of a stir in some corners, I suppose. Felix, have you read it? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what do you make of what's happened? What do you make of what's happened since?
I think what he's done is he sparked a debate among a bunch of people who already knew exactly what they thought about these things. The people who didn't know generally agree with him because he's a very persuasive storyteller. The people who thought that high-frequency trading is an evil which needs to be stopped have all jumped on this book. And a lot of attorneys general and FBI and that kind of thing have taken the opportunity to say that they're looking at this and they might possibly bring some prosecutions at some point. But the debate, I don't think the debate has really become any more sophisticated as a result of this book.
Catherine, you're in Washington, and I know the Supreme Court handed down a big decision this week, another big campaign finance decision, sort of doing away with overall limits on contributions. And I wonder how big a deal you think that is.
I think it's a very big deal. If you look at the reasoning in the report, in the decision, it seems as if this might be sort of a guidepost for what might further come in this area. I know that there are some lawyers who have said, well, it looks like this might be the start of a bunch of decisions that would bring down limits in general on political donations, maybe limiting, basically further recognizing corporations' status as people and ability to give money. It seems like this might kind of open the floodgates to a bunch of other decisions that would further relax restrictions on political donations. So, yes, I think it's a very big deal.
And, Felix, also in Washington, we had Mary Barra, the still newish CEO of General Motors, testifying before the House and the Senate as these recalls continue to mount. How did she do, and what has this sort of meant for General Motors' brand, do you think?
It's been horrible for General Motors. General Motors was this big lumbering car company, and then one of the great achievements of the Obama administration's first term was that they managed to put it through this bankruptcy, and it was meant to come out as a leaner, more efficient, more effective, better-run company. And I think everything we've heard in the past couple of weeks about the complete dysfunction in the senior ranks of General Motors has just proved that none of that seems to have worked.
Catherine, they've enlisted the help of Ken Feinberg to sort of help them through all of this. What do you make of that decision?
It seems like they recognize that they need some outside assistance at the very least. As Felix was saying, you know, what's really come out of a lot of this is that there's been a lot of dysfunction, the CEO has argued that, you know, we weren't deliberately trying to hide things from one another. We just have a lot of very siloed departments. Legal doesn't talk to business, doesn't talk to the engineering side, whatever. And so clearly they had a lot of structural problems if you don't think it was sort of conspired malfeasance, and maybe having some outside help and, you know, figure out how to get their act together would be actually beneficial both for the families that were affected and for the company itself.
All right. Catherine Rampell, columnist at the Washington Post, and Felix Salmon from Reuters, thank you guys very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.